girl.
Love Talk Radio.
Jesus, holy and anointed one.
Name is the same.
Thank you, Jesus. Father God, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bless your name today, Lord. We glorify your name today, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for this is the day that you have made, and we will continue to rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you, Lord, for Bible study. Father God, thank you for every man, woman, boy, and girl under the sound of our voices and those that are on their way.
Thank you.
We ask, oh God, that you meet them at the point of their need and then give them super abundantly above. We thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would reveal yourself and God's word to us on tonight. That you open up the ears and eyes of our understanding and let revelation, wisdom, and knowledge burst forth in our hearts on tonight. And we praise your name. We glorify your name for the harvest and every good seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100-fold, even 1,000-fold increase in blessing in Jesus' name. Father God, we thank you for spiritual authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan and all your satanic cohorts, we curse you from the root and command you to be bound in Jesus' name. And Father God, we give you the praise.
Yes.
We give you the honor. We give you the glory. For it's truly yours. And we bless your name tonight. In Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Before we go any further, thank you, Jesus. Those who are listening on the 515 number, you need to hang up and dial 720-527-5952. Access code 103-4545. When we understand there were several people who were on the 515 number, we only use that on Tuesdays to help record our discussion. So if you want to have dialogue, you want to ask questions or make comments, you must dial 720-527-5952. Access code 103-4545. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Tonight, we have a special treat. Because we know during this time of the year, our thought life really gets up, it seems. And we're thinking about past, present, and sometimes even the future. And if you think about New Year's resolution. Tonight, I want to present to some and introduce to others Dr. Caroline Leaf. Dr. Caroline Leaf. Now, she spells her last name, L-E-A-F, like the leaf on a tree. Significant. She is a cognitive neuroscientist. But what's so significant about her is that she's a Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, fire-baptized, demon-destroying, guardian of the altar, the warrior of the word, woman of God. And we're going to listen to her for a little while about toxic thoughts. See, what you think is what you are. So you got to watch your thought life. Proverbs 23:7 says, what a man thinks, so is he. I do not like that, y'all. Just because I said it just now, don't make that mine. I just borrowed it from the Word of God. You can get Dr. Caroline Leaf anytime you want, 24 hours a day, on YouTube. Caroline Leaf. Right now, we're going to listen to her. And we're going to do the same thing. After we stop her audio, we'll have a five-minute time for questions, comments, discussions. Then we'll go back into the audio.
Told that the brain could not change. So if it was damaged, well, that's it. You just basically had to teach your patient to compensate for these things and to kind of get around the problem. But that seems such a negative thing. So I asked that question, can a brain that's damaged, can it not change, can it not grow? And a brain that's not damaged, can't we make that better? Can't we increase our intelligence? And so I decided to embark on a journey of researching and studying this and applying it in my practice. I was determined to prove that the mind could change the brain. It implies that the mind is separate from the brain, but influencing the brain. So I started off 30 years ago in practice, and I decided to work with people with learning disabilities, with traumatic brain injury, with specifically with the learning disabled communities, the older children. So, because we were also told back then that once you hit the age of 10, sort of 10 to 12, well, then you're too old to have much done for you. So you could get some remedial therapy and things like that, but there wasn't a huge amount that you could do for your brain. So here I was coming out of university, keen to help people, but being told that, well, just teach your patients to compensate. Well, I wasn't going to do that because I didn't believe that that was the best thing to do for anyone. I also know that thoughts are real things that occupy mental real estate, and that as we are thinking, we are choosing and we are building thoughts inside of our brain. I also believe that you're as intelligent as you want to be. So the more you think deeply, the more intellectually challenging the challenges you put in front of yourself, the more you're going to grow your brain. So my first few patients that I worked with in my practice were patients with traumatic brain injury, patients that had suffered from severe car accidents and had severe traumatic brain injuries. I also worked with the older learning disabled population. I worked with people from heart attack victims, had strokes, various different things, where they presented with quite major damage inside their brain. And I decided to try all traditional methods and start and trying to understand the science of thought and to work with things that actually were meaningful for them. One of the problems with doing the kind of therapy that I was trained to do was something called carryover, where you would teach a patient in a therapy room, you'd give them therapy, and then they would have to carry that over into their daily life, and carryover wasn't very good. So I didn't think that it would be very good therapist if I couldn't teach them to change their brain and I couldn't teach them to make a difference in their life. So I would ask them the question, what is the most important thing that you need to do? And obviously the students that were at school, they wanted to work on schoolwork. People that had been in former businessmen and women that were now sitting with brain damage, they wanted to get back to their former status. So that was my challenge. Traumatic brain injury at that stage, I'm talking 30 years ago, so back in the 80s, where it was not accepted that your brain can change. Traumatic brain injury particularly was a disorder in search of data, which means that the scientists believed at that stage that the damage was so diffuse that you couldn't do anything for their brain. So I started working I had a patient that came to my practice, and this young woman was amazing. She had a terrible, terrible car accident. She was thrown from the car. She was basically in a coma for maybe 2 weeks. And in that day and age, if someone was in a coma for longer than 8 hours, their brain damage was considered irreversible. So her parents were told, the doctors told her parents that she'd be a vegetable. Well, 14 months after her accident, the parents approached me. She wasn't a vegetable. She'd come around. She had progressed. She was so determined. She had used her mind. She had pushed through, and she was functioning at around about a fourth grade level. Now, that may sounds strange, but she was 16 at the time of the accident. So she had lost 14 months, her peer group were going into 12th grade, and she was now functioning at around a fourth grade level. So I was really nervous, I have to be honest with you, because I was just embarking on this field of research. I was researching how the science of thought, how thoughts form, that thoughts are real, that as you are thinking and choosing, you're actually building these thoughts, expression in your brain, and you're growing what's in your brain and how can we do this effectively and what is it, can we control our thinking. So I told them, listen, you know, this is experimental, but you can work with me. And 14 months post-accident is also not the greatest time to work with a patient because they've kind of hit a plateau where they're not really going to progress much more. Long story short, 8 months later, this young girl, not only did she catch up and make close that gap, but she went into 12th grade, she wrote 12th grade with her peer group, went on to finish school, she graduated, went on to get a degree, she changed dramatically. And what did she do? The big thing about this young woman was she chose to direct her mind. She chose to use her intellect. She was determined. She thought, she was thinking so hard about all the things that she was learning. She sat with her schoolwork day in and day out for hours applying the techniques that I had been developing and learning. What's very interesting, and you'll see the first slide, is of her IQ. Now, with a traumatic brain injury, basically IQ generally goes down around 20 points because of the kind of damage with traumatic brain injury. Well, her IQ was 100 before the accident. It was 120 after the accident. So here with holes in her brain and brain damage, she actually increased her intelligence. Now I'm pretty convinced at this stage, because I've been working besides her, I've been working with lots and lots of other patients, seeing the same thing. When these students applied their mind, their brain was changing, their academic results were changing. So I was working on the cognitive side, on the academic side, showing them how to process this information, how to read, how to think, how to ask, answer, and discuss their ways through information, how to write that down and capture that information, how to make sure that they could go back and compare what they had written down and look at the original work and do they understand and does this make sense. It was, and then being able to reteach that and explain it. I would explain these students, and we would spend hours working through these techniques and applying it to their schools, and I saw change all over the place. So then I thought, well, this is great. This is wonderful. I'm seeing these incredible changes, and up here on the stage, what you'll see are two plants, and this green plant over here represents a healthy thought, and the little black tree over there represents an unhealthy thought. So or a toxic thought from either a negative emotion or from a bad learning pattern. And what I believe, if you study the brain, you can actually see that thoughts, as your thoughts are forming in the brain, they form on your neurons and they look like trees. So I really believed at that stage that as you were using your mind, you could change your brain. Now in the 90s, with the advent of brain imaging technology, this was proven. So back in the 80s, to change your brain with your mind was crazy, but in the mid-90s and now, it's totally normal. You hear people talking about neuroplasticity all the time. Neuroplasticity means your brain can change. Neuro means brain, plastic means to change. So your brain is designed to change, but it has to be stimulated to change. You also get something that we understand now called neurogenesis. Neuro meaning brain, genesis meaning new birth. So we are constantly on a day-to-day basis growing new brain cells. So if we have a malleable brain and if we are constantly growing brain cells, the more you actually direct your mind, the more your brain's going to grow. So the harder you think, the deeper you think, the more you ask, answer, and discuss through information, the more you grow your brain, the more intelligent you become. Logical deduction, not back in the 80s, it was ridiculous back then, but as I said, it's accepted now. Collectively around the globe now, researchers are proving that no matter what kind of neurological, psychological impairment you have in your brain, and even if you just want to improve your own brain, by deep intellectual thinking, you can change your brain with your mind. So then I decided I'm working one-on-one with patients. Let me see if this thing can apply in a larger context and in larger communities. So very quickly, I just want to show you a couple more slides from this traumatic brain injured patient. I'm just going to go through them very fast. This is in South Africa. This is her English results. What's interesting here is the dark solid line was what she was achieving and her trend of her academic results. Where I intervened was, if you look through the middle where you see the dotted line starting to raise over there, more or less in the middle, that shows where therapy started. So in other words, what this is telling us is that she was an average student, that was her trend line, that was what she was achieving academically, and if you predicted her performance based on her previous performance, that's what she would have continued to do. But with the intervention of teaching her how to use her mind to change her brain, there was a dramatic, in some cases up to 220% increase in her academic grades. Now, not only did I work on the cognitive through academics, but I also I worked on that directly. But we also found an indirect result happening. Her language skills improved, and her emotional skills improved. So there was like an all-round effect happening. So we saw the same thing happening in her social studies. We saw the same thing happening in her other subjects as well. So then I decided to formalize my theories to formalize my research. I created a theory. Don't worry, I'm not going to spend hours on this. This is just to show you how you think. It's a theory. In the top part shows you, it's talking about your mind, and in the bottom part where you see the clouds is your brain. So what I'm basically saying over there is that the way that you think is actually going to change the way that your brain functions. So it's formalized into a theory. So in formalizing it into a theory, I decided to work with a group of learning disabled students in a school. So instead of one-on-one, I started training teachers. And I trained worked in the school, trained a whole lot of teachers, and then in these systems, and then they trained the students. Now, I wasn't sure if this was going to have the same impact, because at this point I'd been working one-on-one. Well, I'm happy to tell you that we had the same kind of results if we get the specs. Okay, we had an incredible result as well. Let me just go back to that. Where as soon as the first two little blocks over there is the academic trend of the school, the minute that the teacher started actually applying the techniques, we altered the trend significantly. The point I'm making here is that I wasn't working directly with the student. I was working via the teacher. I've since trained thousands and thousands of teachers. For 30 years now, I've been working in this field, working with teachers, corporate students, people with brain damage, people without brain damage, and I have consistently seen this constant change. The minute you direct your mind, the minute you discipline and work daily on learning, which is process of building memory, you will change your brain. There's just no doubt about it. Now, you can think in a negative way, and you also change your brain in a negative way. If you think in a positive way, you change your brain in a positive way, and that is called the plastic paradox. So this incredibly malleable brain is subservient to what you do with your mind. So if you think you're not going to make it, well, you're not going to make it. But if you think you are going to make it, you are going to make it. So the way you think will drive your brain. Your brain responds to how your mind is actually functioning. So if you look at the next slide, from working with this public school in a learning disabled environment, I was then approached by government, and the government, I've come from South Africa, if you haven't already guessed, and at that stage I was working in, it was the pre-apartheid area, and I was approached by government to work with a group of schools in Soweto. I'm sure you've all heard of Soweto, where Nelson Mandela spent some of his time out there. Now, these conditions were terrible. For 10 years, I literally worked in the trenches. I was going to these schools that were poorly performing schools where the conditions were beyond belief. I look at this incredible school that we're standing in today. Those schools, there would be 100 children squished into a tiny little classroom where they would share one textbook. There would be a chalkboard, an old-fashioned chalkboard with little bits of chalk, and the chalkboard didn't even work properly. All of them were starving. Every single one of them had a story that if you heard their story, you would be crying. Most of them didn't have parents. Their parents had died of AIDS. Most of them had some kind of trauma in their life. Shocking conditions. Most of them hadn't eaten a decent meal for a few days, yet they sat there listening, completely absorbed. I would go into these schools and I would work for 5 hours at a time. Do you know that they would not move for 5 hours? Now, what's very interesting here is that parallel to working in these schools, I had my practice and I was working in very privileged schools as well. So I was seeing both ends of the spectrum. I found the children in Soweto to have a far deeper concentration and a desire. They saw the opportunity to learn such a privilege. They would sit there for hours. They didn't want me to leave. And one day there was one young man, as I was teaching this group of students, and just quickly to backtrack there, we did this huge project over a period of time where we worked with thousands and thousands of kids and teachers, and we used to drive into Soweto. Now, Soweto is very, very dangerous in those days. I'm a white woman driving in Soweto. I never got touched. These people were so desirous of learning, so desperate to learn how to learn, that they protected me. They couldn't get enough of this information. Anyway, one day a young man heard about this course going on in the school that I was doing, and he was about or hadn't finished school. He was a pimp. He was a drug dealer. He was everything you do not want. And when he walked into that school, they all knew him. The school, the kids just past it. It was like the Red Sea parting. And he walked to the back of the classroom, and he stared at me. I could feel his eyes boring through me. And I could think, as I was talking and explaining, this is how you learn, how your brain works, and how intelligence works, and this is how we do this biology, and going through the process of reading, how we process and read the information and ask, answering, and discussing, and these children are interacting with me, going through this whole thing, and he's staring at me and staring at me and staring at me. And what went through my head, I have to confess, was, boy, when I leave here, I better watch my back, because this young man is not happy that I'm here today. At the end of that 5 hours, and they didn't move for 5 hours, I stress again, that young man picked up his pen when the teacher said, who would like to thank Dr. Leaf? That young man ran to the front with tears pouring down his eyes. I will never forget that scene. He held up his pen and he said, Dr. Leaf, now I know what to do with my pen. He went back to school. He completed school. He went on to become a change agent within his community. And that's one of thousands and thousands of stories that I have been privileged to be part of. One of my oldest patients was a 78-year-old pilot who couldn't fly anymore. So he went and studied his second profession at 78, which was to be a CPA, and he qualified at 84. I mean, how cool is that? He asked me to give him a certificate just when he went to apply for his job, so he had done this course. So my children, my lab rats, I call my children and my husband my lab rats. They're sitting at the front here. They're very friendly. They don't bite, so you can say hello to them if you want to. They grew up with this stuff. I've used this stuff my whole life. What is this stuff? The stuff is that your mind is so incredibly powerful. You have a powerful mind. You have a sound mind. You have a mind that is able to achieve what your dreams are. You are as intelligent as you want to be. I stand up here saying this with conviction because I have seen this over and over in so many different circumstances. When I came to the United States, here's another slide coming up. I did a lot of my initial research, as you've heard, back in South Africa in one-on-one, traumatic brain injury, learning disability, public schools, special needs schools, and government schools. And I also, in this country, I worked in Dallas for 3 years in charter schools, and we found the same thing happening. I worked a little bit one-on-one with a few of the students, but the majority of the work I did in the schools in Dallas for 3 years was with the teachers, showing them how to learn. When you direct your attention, when you apply a disciplined, directed, deep focused thinking, when you sit down with your whatever it is that you are learning, whether it is on a university level, school level, business level, whatever you are looking at, whatever you are studying, whatever knowledge it is that you are trying to master, when you sit down with your mind and you direct your attention, that repeated effort, when you direct your attention in a repeated way, will cause learning to take place. Learning is a process of building thoughts inside of your brain. You're a thinking being. You think all day long. You are always thinking. During the day, you are thinking, you are choosing, and you are building thoughts. Thoughts are memories, and thoughts are real things. Memories are real things. So as you are sitting with your schoolwork, as you are doing whatever you are doing in life, when you sit there daily, it's a daily rigorous discipline process, and you read and you ask yourself, what am I reading? And you answer yourself and you discuss it with yourself. As you do this disciplined mind work, you are driving your malleable brain to grow branches. You are literally growing branches on these neurons inside of your brain. You have an unlimited capacity inside your brain. Scientists have tried to estimate, is there a limit to what we can fit inside of our human brain? Well, some researchers have said you'd have to be 3 million years old to fill up the human brain. You have an endless power off.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Clarity, any questions?
I'd like to just share something. Our real things, y'all. Thoughts are real things. That's why the Word of God talks about your thought life often. All right. We'll continue in 5 minutes. Go ahead, Pastor B.
Yes. Any comments, thoughts, clarity?
Yes. Yes. This is Cynthia. I like to say that it goes back to what you said Sunday. If you say you think you can do it, you're setting yourself up for failure. Always say that you can do it, and then you can do it.
It sounds like you disappeared.
Yeah. Were you finished?
Sunday he used the word try. And he said,
right.
Remember, he said before, if you say try, that leaves the door open for failure.
Right.
We say you can't, and I've even told, when I was working, I wouldn't allow, one of my rules were I told the children that we did not use the word can't. Can't.
Right.
And because a lot of times you don't know if you can do something if you haven't tried. You know, and sometimes we have to, like, get over what we think in our mind or what someone have told us or what we have heard someone say about us or whatever. You can't do that. Mm-hmm. That's impossible. And sometimes if you hear something so many times, your spirit absorbs it. And it's in your mind that, no, well, they say I can't do that. But if we are fed the right things, we can triumph in areas that we've never even approached before.
That's the truth, because
we got to get over those things in our mind that we've told ourselves, that we've heard people say, or that we were fed or something like that. And if we that's why we have to, like, stay in the Word of God, because the Word of God can replace all the negatives that we have said, that we've been fed. And if that's all we feed ourselves, the negative, when somebody comes into something negative, I can't entertain that thought. Sometimes I have to stop them. I'm sorry. Please don't say that.
There's been situations that I've been in, and I'm so determined that I do not give up. I just keep going and going and going until I get what I'm trying to do.
Praise God.
Amen.
You're one in a million, honey.
That's the key. Now, again, it's important for us to understand that thoughts are real things. They actually take up real estate in your brain.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that comes your way, you receive, it gets into your brain.
That's why
we're wired for positiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So the positive thoughts give you a sense of calm and relaxation and all the good stuff, a comfort, all of that. The negative thoughts, they're the toxic thoughts. Toxicity is poisonous. The toxic thoughts are the negative thoughts, and we have nothing. The neurons that we have are for positive thoughts that are in our brains. But when the negative thoughts come, the brain has to, in essence, create a structure so that the negative thoughts can rest upon. That's why the migraine headache,
yes,
all the kinds of stuff that goes on in the body when you're entertaining negative thoughts, because, you know, you got hundreds of thousands of miles of nerves. They start and end in your brain. And that's why you're dealing with toxic thoughts, and your big toe starter. Why my big toe starter? Because the brain is trying to compensate for the negative, because it wasn't built for negative. It was built for positive. That's why the Bible talks about the body was designed to heal itself.
Mm. Yes.
Designed to hurt.
And that's why.
But to heal itself. Yes, go ahead.
And that's why we have to watch what we put in, let go into our spirit, even with watching TV or listening to certain music or things like that. I only listen to gospel. I only listen to look at one station, and that's YouTube, and that's the gospel all day long. And they be looking at me like, why are you listening to so much gospel? I say, because I have to watch what goes into my spirit. I don't want all those bad vibes and negativity things going into my spirit. So I try to watch what goes in my spirit.
Yes. Yes.
Is it 5 minutes up?
Yes, Pastor. When we were growing up, and this may sound strange, but whenever we watched television, and I was raised in a Christian home, my mother would not allow us to listen to commercials on television.
Mm-hmm.
Did that sound kind of?
Mm-hmm.
But
no,
we didn't understand.
Whenever
we had to turn the TV down, and we were thinking like, oh my gosh, you know, and sometimes we would try and listen to the commercial when my mother wasn't around, but when we would hear her come, we turn it down. But I didn't understand until I got grown, because we did not have secular music in our house. We didn't know what secular music sounded like. So then when I heard secular music, I said, oh my goodness, that's the same tune as that commercial. And but my mother knew it. So therefore she didn't want that playing in our minds. Because after a while, we would be singing it. We would be singing those commercials, not knowing that it was the same tune as one of the secular songs. Then when I got grown, the light bulbs came on. I said, oh, my goodness. That's why Mama made us turn down the commercials. She knew it.
My mama used to do that thing. She used to say, turn that TV down. And I don't understand. I'm just a kid, you know. I'm thinking it's just a commercial, but she knows what was going on, and what we didn't know what was going on, had no idea.
Right.
But when you turn on the radio and you hear all this profanity and stuff that goes on in a song, you don't want your children exposed to that.
No, sure don't. Go ahead, Pastor Tama. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Oh no, I was letting the pastor know that 5 minutes was up. You had another comment, Prophet Cynthia?
Oh no, I was just saying when I hear that, I was like, that kind of music hurts my ears, and
because
my grandson. Oh, it's over.
Okay, you need to repeat that because I didn't hear that. We started the video. Okay,
I was saying my daughter lets my grandson listen to that kind of music, but when he comes here, I try to turn him around to kind of positive music or music that has a beat like gospel music. And I say, don't you want to play your bongos? Listen to the beat. See if you can keep up with the beat. I try to turn it into positive atmosphere, because when he's with his mother, they just listen to all kind of stuff. And I'm like, oh, whoa, he listening to that? I mean, that's, you know, it's unacceptable. I don't want him listening to that, but when you're trying to train a child one way and somebody's training him some other way, it's kind of hard to try to get him into a positive mode. So when he comes here, that's why with the bongos. So when he comes here, I say, come on, let's listen to the beat. Listen to the beat. Try to keep up with the beat. And it's gospel. And it has like drums in it or bongos or something like this. So he'll listen to the beat. He say, yeah, Mama, I got it. I think I got it. So I try to train him differently. But if it's, and I try to tell his mother, why don't you pray with him at night? Let's teach him the Lord's Prayer. I said, because you know, when you get that job, you're going to be praising God, thanking God. I said, always pray when you go on an interview. And she's been doing that. And she's been getting some really good jobs lately. And she's been praying a lot more. And I'm trying to teach her to teach your baby that too.
Thank God.
I'm trying to teach her a positive, trying to be a positive role model for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but she's, you know, young people when they're in their 20s and stuff like that, they try to go their own way. So I'm trying to turn her around and turn him around at the same time. But it's coming along, but slowly but surely. But I can't force her, but I can only tell her and give her some boundaries and tell her what my experiences was or testify something that I went through. And she's like, oh, yeah, man, that's good. That seemed to work. I'm going to try that.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. I have to remind everybody, we only have 5 minutes between each audio. So God bless you.
Sorry.
Thank you for sharing that, though.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The brain, it's all whatever kind of brain damage. Those children in Soweto, they could have said, look at my circumstances, look at my environment. They could have taken all that, but they didn't. You can rise above any circumstance, because the truth of the matter is that you cannot control the events and circumstances of your life, but you can control your reactions to those events and circumstances. And that applies on an academic level, that applies on a daily level as you are thinking, choosing, and building thoughts. You see, each and every one of us is not a victim of our biology. We are a victor over and above our biology. We control our brain. Our brain does not control that. And research over the years, as I've said, has proven that, and collectively around the globe, people are proving the same thing. So here's the answer to my question. Yes, your brain can, your mind can change your brain, and everyone should be allowed the opportunity to learn how to learn. The key is, people need to be taught how to learn. Thank you.
It is important for us to understand why we delve so deeply in the Word of God. It's to stimulate our brain, to plant the seeds of the Word of God in our mind, and thus the harvest of that seed that is planted will flow into us, into our whole existence.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to set up the next part of the video. You can have a discussion.
Yes.
Yeah.
And this word of God says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. She said, your mind can change your brain. And that's the truth. She said, your mind can change your brain.
Artificial intelligence can now build you entire online business with a few clicks of what I'm told is called a mouth.
So that the Word of God is the mind of Christ. But we have to get it in us.
What would you say if I told you that you have the power to manipulate time? Would you believe me? Good. So this is a scene from the movie The Matrix. And this is where Neo, the main character, he slows down time and he dodges those bullets in a single moment. Okay, critics, he's not really slowing down time, but he is thinking and acting wicked fast. And so it appears as though time is slowing down. What I love about this scene is that he doesn't even know or believe that he's the one and that he...
Hi, I'm Dr. Caroline Leaf. Toxic thoughts is the first of the dirty dozen that I want to discuss with you. And this is fascinating because thoughts go through a process as they develop in your mind. And essentially the first 24 to 48 hours that information comes in your brain and a thought is busy forming, it's in a temporary state. So you still have the chance to be able to actually completely get rid of it before it actually takes permanent hold inside your brain. So as information comes in through the five senses, it swirls around the middle of your brain for 24 to 48 hours. A temporary memory will also form over there, but the beauty of this is that you can capture that thought and eliminate it immediately. So catching toxic thoughts and getting rid of them at that point is very important. But sometimes we don't, and sometimes it goes on longer than 24 to 48 hours. And a temporary memory then converts into a pretty much a semi-permanent memory. And I say semi-permanent because no memory is permanent in your brain, because you can wire out anything out of your brain. You see, very often we get these toxic thoughts in our brain and they become so much part of us, we get chained to those toxic thoughts. They become habits that actually make us feel, this is who we are, they define us. If they are not healthy thoughts, if they are toxic thoughts, they are not who you are. And if you've wired them in, you need to wire them out. So a toxic thought doesn't define you. And if it has gone in, it's longer than 24 to 48 hours, and you've been thinking in a certain way for 5 or 10 or 20 or 30 years, you can wire that out as well. Sometimes we become so comfortable, as I said, with toxic thoughts that we actually think, well, this is who I am. But you can wire any toxic thought, whether it's just happen now in the next 24 to 48 hours, you can get rid of it a little easier. But once it's wired in, you can still wire it out. So toxic thoughts, you have to deal with it. Deal with them at any stage, wherever you're at in your life.
The elites are laughing at us. They've come right out and said it. By 2030, they want us to own nothing and be happy. And
okay. That was concerning toxic thoughts.
Mm-hmm. The disgraced, twice impeached, four times indicted ex-president has a nemesis or a counter, someone who will fear.
Okay.
And I think sometimes we absorb toxic. So that's why it's good to have the Holy Ghost. But thank God for the Holy Ghost, because when the when thoughts come that are toxic, God will drop in your spirit to rebuke it or to, like, to change the channel.
Someone go to 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, please. 2 Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 5. When you get there, say amen.
2 Corinthians.
We're talking about toxic thoughts. Now, toxic thoughts may not seem that way to you sometimes. Negative. You heard what somebody said about you. And you're repeating it.
Amen.
Toxic thought, unless it was a good thing. A good thing is a positive thought. That's okay. But if they said something bad or something harmful, that's a toxic thought.
Mm-hmm.
You don't saute, marinate, ruminate, or meditate on it. You get rid of it. You said amen?
Yes.
Go ahead, read.
2 Corinthians 10:5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ.
Hallelujah. Every thought. In other words, God, you can do this. That some people say, oh, I can't control my thoughts. Yes, you can. You can bring them into the obedience of Christ. And see, you know, the greatest television set in the world is your mind and your imagination.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it is just amazing all that you can do with your imagination.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I've told people, and this is true, and I've asked people, what's the largest nation in the world? Dr. Peaches, what's the largest nation in the world?
Imagination.
Your imagination. It travels through time and space. It's not limited. It's unlimited. Your imagination will even have people who have gone on, who've been gone for 40 and 50 years, come alive in your imagination again. Abraham Lincoln and George Washington, all them boys, Custer, and they can come alive in your imagination.
Mm-mm-mm.
You have to bring your imagination, everything, into the obedience of Christ. Because your thoughts are real things. I need to say this again. Your thoughts, y'all repeat this. Our thoughts are real things. Now, see, some of y'all don't believe that. But see, when you were worried about something and you start getting a headache, that's your brain trying to build dendrites to receive the negative.
Mm.
Your brain, you start digging. In your head, your brain will, you will start getting a headache. Signs of ailment, feeling a little dizzy sometimes. What do you call it, vertigo? because you are focusing on toxic thoughts. You drink a little toxic liquid. You might start getting a little dizzy and feeling a little wheezy. You might have some of your extremities start hurting. Your vision will be impaired, and your nose might start running. You might start drooling. You understand what I'm saying? Toxicity is poison. Toxic thoughts is just a poison, as is arsenic.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Arsenic will kill you, and your death is going to be a terrible death. You took arsenic. Toxic thoughts will kill you if you let it, y'all. Don't you dare saute, marinate, ruminate, meditate, focus, deliberate on the negative.
Amen.
Somebody do something, somebody say something, you don't nurse it, you don't curse it, you don't play the video or the tape recorder. What do you do with it?
Disperse it.
You disperse it, y'all.
Amen.
How do you disperse it? Go to Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, somebody.
4:8.
What else you mama?
Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things.
Let's sit down. Now, here's another scripture. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or
think,
according to the power that worketh within us. And that power got to be the Holy Ghost power, y'all.
Thank you.
Get rid of it. I don't care what the doctor say. I'm gonna say what God said. Whose report are you gonna believe?
Right.
I don't care what the next door neighbor. The next door neighbor don't go to church. The next door neighbor don't know God. So why are you worried about what she said? What she said, if it ain't good, it's bad. If it ain't uplifting, it's down putting you down. We got to learn how to share positive words with one another. We got to receive the positive. We got to think, marinate, and saute, and ruminate, and focus on the positive, because the positive will give you peace. And that peace, glory to God. When God sends it, it surpasses all understanding. There's a scripture for book, Shikidi. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. It could be 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10. But let's look at both of them. Let's see if it's what I'm looking for. In fact, go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10.
2 Corinthians 3:10?
Yes.
That says, for even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect by reason of the glory that is...
Okay, go to 1 Corinthians.
3:10.
Wait a minute. Nope. Go to... 1 Peter 3:10. Let's start 1 Peter 3:10.
That says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips
that they speak no guile.
Uh-huh. Often we speak what we done thought about. You want to have a good life. Watch what you think and watch what you speak. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Pastor Peter. Hallelujah.
And the only way this can come about, Pastor, is us staying in the Word and letting the Word of God take up those spaces and places that will fill us up so that we don't have any room for the negative.
That's right.
And when when somebody tries, the negative will come, it's just like it'll bounce off. It won't be absorbed because there's no room for it.
Amen.
And there's a cliche, and I also remind people, there's a cliche that we can't stop a bird from flying over our head, that we can't stop them from making a nest in our hair. Because you can't stop a bird from flying, but you sure ain't gonna let him land on your head and bring some more twigs and stuff to make a nest in there, so he can bring his other little babies, he can bring his eggs and have his babies or whatever, you know. But and when it comes to the thoughts too, when it comes to negative thoughts, negative thoughts can come or try and come or from whatever. If they say no, rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Nope. And the more we say it, the quicker they will leave us. And that's why we have to just, Prophet Cynthia saying about listening to gospel and watching gospel and only entertaining the gospel. So therefore, when we fill ourselves up, that's why we have to watch our ear gates and our eye gates, watching what goes in, watching what we watch, watching what we listen to. Because those things feed our spirit.
Amen. Any questions? I want to continue with Caroline Lee. Again, Dr. Caroline Lee. She's a cognitive neuroscientist. And she's also a Holy Ghost-filled tongue talker. Fire baptized. All right. Let's hear a little bit more from her.
I'm always so encouraged when pastors are so insightful when it comes to the need to understand mental health, because what's happening in the world today with mental health is very scary. Because
three surprising reasons why you can't go to the bathroom. Number one, you're eating tomatoes.
Jim Quick, wow, I am so excited to meet you face-to-face. I know about you. I've followed you. I think you are phenomenal. You're doing stuff that's in my wheelhouse. I've worked for years with people with traumatic brain injury, and you have the most brilliant story and how you overcame it. I'm in brain research. You teaching brain stuff. You are transforming lives. This is something that is just so up my street, and I'm so honored that you've taken the time to come and just share about your experience, your life, your fantastic new book that I'm so excited about called Limitless. So thank you for joining me today.
Oh, it's a real honor, a real privilege to be here. Thank you, everybody who's listening.
Yes, so let me tell you, my viewers and listeners are really excited to hear you.
Oh, good. I hope they're ready to take some notes.
Exactly. Take some notes, learn some techniques, improve their memory. You've got the T-shirt on, so I love it. I love it. It's fantastic. It's such a cool T-shirt. Okay, so Jim, just tell us a little bit about yourself. You know, that we've introduced you, but tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us something that's not in your bio, and you know what motivates you, what drives you to do what you're doing.
Well, that's a great question. my inspiration really was my desperation. You could say my mess became my message. As you mentioned, I've had a traumatic brain injury when I was 5 years old, and I had another one, you know, a few years later, and I had learning difficulties that came from it. My parents, when I was rushed to the hospital, my parents said I was never quite the same. Where before I was very energized, very curious, very playful, I became very shut down. Where it showed up the most was in education and school. I had very poor processing issues. Teachers would have to repeat themselves over and over again, and I would eventually pretend to understand, but I didn't really understand. I had poor focus, poor memory. It took me an extra few years to learn how to read. And so reading was a big challenge also as well. When I was 9 years old, an inflection point in my life where I was holding the class back, I was being teased because of it. And a teacher, I think coming to my defense, said, that's the boy with the broken brain. More saying, leave him alone. But all I registered in my mind at that age was I was broken. And that label became my limit. And it put me in that box that I talk about in the book, where we all feel like in some area we're not making progress or that we're limited. And so I struggled all through school, all through elementary school, middle school, junior high, and high school. And eventually at the age of 18, I hit a wall, not literally, but I fell down a flight of stairs and I met again because I was living in the library because I was working so much harder than everybody else. And it wasn't very sustainable. Not eating, not sleeping, and I passed down in the library. I fell down a flight of stairs, and I woke up at night again. Woke up in the hospital 2 days later, and I remember it was a scary time. I was 18 years old. I was down to 117 pounds, very malnourished. Hooked up to all these IVs, and I thought I died. And it was a very dark place because maybe part of me thought I, should have or wished I did because I was struggled my whole, childhood. Yeah, and I had pressure not coming directly from my parents. My parents immigrated to the United States. My dad was 13 and lost both his parents. They couldn't afford to feed him and came to the States to live with his aunt. That typical story. We didn't have any money, didn't have the education, didn't speak the language. I lived in back of the laundromat that my mom worked at. But they weren't tiger parents, like driving me to do all these things. But I just felt I wanted to make them proud and make their sacrifice, worth it. Mm-hmm. And it'd be also a good example for my younger brother and sister. And so when I was in the hospital bed, I thought there has to be a better way. And the nurse came in with a mug of tea, and it had a picture of Albert Einstein on it. And it had this quote that said, "The same level of thinking that has created your problem won't solve your problem." Some iteration.
Very famous quote,
Very much so. And made me think, well, what's my problem? I was like, wow, I'm a very slow learner. I have a broken brain. I was thinking, well, how do I think differently about this problem? I was like, well, maybe I can learn how to learn better or learn faster or fix my own brain. And so I set my studies aside and I just started studying. I became extremely passionate and curious about, I wanted to solve this one question. How does my brain work so I could work my brain? How does my memory work so I could work my memory? And I started studying the power of the mind. I started studying some elementary introductory neuroscience, adult learning theory. I started studying ancient mnemonics, and I wanted to find out what did cultures use before there were printing presses. Before there were phones and computers, and started studying the art and science of speed reading and all these other areas. And about 2 months into it, 60 days, a light switch just flicked on. It turned off, switched on. And I just started to understand things for the very first time, comprehend. I had better focus. I was able to retain things that I read and remember things that teachers we would explain, professors, and my grades shot up. But not only that, but everything, my life, with that confidence, psychology, that confidence loop. I got more confident, and then my confidence rose, and then my life raised, went to a new level also. But how I ended up teaching this was I couldn't help but help other people because I know what it feels like to struggle with overload. If somebody's listening to this right now and say, there's too much information, too little time, or I get so easily distracted, I'll read a page in a book and forget what I just read, or I'm forgetful and get someone's name. I forget it. As soon as the handshake breaks, or I'm so absent-minded, or senior moments are coming easy, or earlier, and I'm so forgetful, and I have this brain fog of fatigue, and I know what that feels like because I spent my whole formative years fighting those battles, And so I started to teach at one of my very first students. She was a freshman in college, and she read 30 books in 30 days. Can you imagine that? Not him or she has, but
she read them.
She read, really understood them. And I always talk about how a lot of people are really great at buying books, but that's a different skill than reading a book. Some people are very good at purchasing books online.
Exactly.
But they sit on their shelf and it becomes shelf help and not self help.
Self help.
And then I wanted to find out her motivation, and that's a big part of the section of the book is on motivation. You know, I wanted to understand why some people know what to do but they don't do what they know they should do. Why common sense is not common practice. And I found that her motivation was, her purpose was, her mother was dying of cancer, was only spent 2 months to live. And the books she was reading were books to save her mom's life. And I find out 6 months later, I get a call from this young lady, and she's crying. And I find out when she stopped, her tears of joy, real joy, that her mother now survives, but it's really getting better. Doctors called it a miracle. Her mother attributed 100% to the great advice she got from her daughter, who learned it from all these books. In that moment, I realized that if knowledge is power, then learning is our superpower, and I dedicated my life to show people how to unleash that superpower.
Oh, you know, I'm listening to that, and I may look calm, but inside I'm like jumping all over the place because your story is just beautiful, and it's so relatable because of the work that I do. For 38 years, I've been involved in brain research, and I have to tell you, Jim, that 38 years ago when I started on this path, I've actually done a TED talk on this too, where I said that the mind can change the brain. The mind, the brain, separate but inseparable. And I remember my professors, because back in the 80s, we were trained, and I'm telling you this just to show you how you're part of a revolution, seriously. But we were trained that the brain could not change. So therefore, damage to brain, we were trained, teach your patients to compensate. There was literally no research on people with traumatic brain injury. It was called closed head injury, CHI, but it's the same thing, TBI. So, and I was seeing this with patients, and I remember turning to my professors and saying, you know what, if you can train the mind, you can change the brain. Neuroplasticity was very new then, and I thought, I'm going to get into this, and I'm going to take the area that is the area that has the least research to prove my point, and that was people with traumatic brain injuries.
Wow.
So I started working with people that had like been in a coma for like weeks and had been written off as vegetables, and I started working with these people and using mind techniques, and they've transformed literally from vegetables to university students, and not just thousands. And
I
tell you,
I call them truth bumps.
Truth bumps. I love it. High five for that one. Truth bumps. Because that, when you were talking about the same thing, because I've seen that, what you experienced, I saw that with my patients, and that's what launched me on my career of researching, understanding the mind and the brain and the connection and how do thoughts form and what is a thought, what is a memory, are they different, how do they work? And 38 years later, I still do clinical trials, I've just been doing one, and that's why when I had the opportunity to interview you, I was through the moon because so excited because you are evidence that I'm so glad that I didn't listen to my professors. One supported me. The others told me I was asking a ridiculous question.
Wow.
And they wife even pursued, you can't help someone with brain damage. I said, watch me.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel
you
did the same thing.
Yeah.
I think you did the same thing. You fought back. You weren't going to be the broke boy with the broken brain.
Yeah.
You defied odds, and you showed that with your mind you can change your brain. So please let me congratulate you.
All right. Praise God. That was a good story, you know, a good recount of something that happened to that young man twice. Here's a couple of things that was said that I really love. Knowledge is power, but learning is superpower. I like that.
All right.
That's why we stay in the Word.
Yeah.
Knowledge.
Amen.
But learning, what you're studying, the information is superpower. And not giving up, y'all. Not throwing power, y'all. And I noticed that they said nothing about doing it real fast. The race isn't given to the swift nor to the strong, but to him that makes it to the end. that endures to the end, that deliberately seeks, you know, making it to the end, to making it to the goal, the victory, whatever the desire. Y'all, some of us have been sat upon, spit upon, knocked around, talked about, and abused, scorned, like the song says, joy is reborn. But long as you got Jesus, and you got his word,
amen.
His word, get into his word, y'all. Get deep into it. Don't be satisfied. See, that's why I take people further than what you hear, because I'm not satisfied with just knowing the Bible is there. I want to know how many words in there, how many chapters. I want to know the longest script, the longest verse. I want to know the subdivisions of the Old Testament, the subdivisions of the New Testament. I want to know that. It gives me confidence in you knowing what you know.
Mm-hmm.
It gives you invigorates your spirit.
Yes.
You're not just sitting around taking up space. You know, and I love it when they talk about reading. The girl that read 30 books a month.
30 books in 30 days.
And 30 books in 30 days. Y'all have been reading 60 books, y'all. Hallelujah. Y'all need to be spiritually with confidence in the fact that you're doing what a lot of folks don't do. A lot of people, after they graduate from high school, they don't read another book.
Yep.
True. Amen.
But y'all do. Glory to God.
Amen.
Because y'all are somebody special.
Thank you, Jesus.
You're warriors of the word.
Mm-hmm.
I thank God for you, I tell you. Caroline Leaf, again, y'all need to get that and go to, she has so many videos and on YouTube that you can go through 24 hours a day, because she has a process that you can go through. Change a habit, seven minutes a day, doing certain things, 7 minutes a day for 21 days, you can change your habit. You change it, you replace it with a good habit. She has all those techniques. And again, I share with you, this lady is a Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, fire baptized, demon destroying, guardian of the altar, warrior of the word.
Thank you, Jesus.
She goes from church to church in the United States and all over the world, teaching your thoughts are real things. She said, and scientists are now agreeing with her that 85 to 95% of all sicknesses, illnesses, and diseases are due to our thought life.
Mm.
Now, y'all need to marinate that, and y'all might get the revelation tomorrow. 85 to 90% of the diseases and the illnesses and all the conditions that you hear about that are evident are because of your thought life.
Mm.
We got to watch out what we think. That's why the Bible talks about save your soul. That's your mind.
Mm-hmm.
That's your mind.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Your will, your intellect, your emotions. That's your mind.
George Myers even said, think about what you're thinking about.
Yes.
I mean, because it carries merit.
Think about what you're thinking about. And
mm-hmm.
She said, the knowledge is power. Or he said, knowledge is power, but learning is superpower.
Superpower. Yep.
And you notice a lot of times when I send a text to many people, I say, hello, superhero woman of God, or hello, superhero man of God.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that you have the knowledge, but you've learned the knowledge. That makes you a superhero. Action, you bring wisdom to your life because you put your learned, understood knowledge into action.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
and knowing the weight of your words, like in our daily family confession, when it says we are brilliant, awesome, amazing, intelligent, powerful, perfect, strong, mighty, great, and beautiful in Jesus' name. I have had to read that over and over again if I felt a certain way on a certain day, and it built me up. It really did, because I repeated those words, and it got down in my ear gate, down to my soul gate.
Amen. And see, people...
And I was able to come out of the gate.
Why, he said it over and over again. I keep saying it until it get down in my spirit. I ain't worried about y'all. I'm going to get it down in my spirit. Oh, I'm just joking, but I want to get it. Tell it, Rhema and me. See, God wants that Rhema, revelation, wisdom, and knowledge breaking forth in your heart. That's Rhema, y'all.
Mm-hmm.
Because the world want to tell you, say something else.
Mm-hmm.
Or call you all kinds of names, all kinds of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know who you are, and whose you are, and what you are.
There you go. There you go.
It's something else we have to watch. Also, what we call our children, you know how we say that little wreck,
yeah.
that little this. And when I was coming up, I was never the size of, I guess, a child. I guess my age never caught up. I was always a big child, not fat, but a big child.
We
were statuous. And sometimes the hairstyle that you can put on a child can show the shape of a child's head. And when I was younger, I was called Big Head. And I remember one day as a teenager, I looked in the mirror and I said, I really do have a big head. I mean, it was like, I had heard it all my life about being big, being this, being that, and my spirit absorbed it, but it had beat down my self-esteem.
Yes.
Then when I got, and my self-esteem, when I grew up, then I married the first husband. I went through stuff there that did not encourage my self-esteem. But then, one day, I realized who I was in Christ Jesus. And I became something else.
And you read somebody that picked up and boosted your self-esteem. Is that right?
You put your hands on your hips and say, "Hi, you like me now?"
Hallelujah! I had, way before then, Pastor. I had to get to a point.
That's right.
We have to look. I remember T.D. Jakes said, "A half a woman marrying a half a man will only have a half a marriage."
Ooh, go ahead. Now that you say that. There was a time when that same kind of spirit on me, because I was the youngest child, and my sister and brother, they would go right away, and I'd be the only one left, and I'd be playing by myself, playing with marbles, with soldier men and all that kind of, so I was by myself. And I heard my people in the family talk about my brother and talk about my sister, they didn't say nothing about me. And I felt, a low self-esteem. But God touched me
mm-hmm.
and made that what they call a tackling field. Anybody see the water boy?
Amen. Yes.
Yeah, tackling field. And I began to, you know, after I graduated from high school, I went to college and I went to various schools and stuff. I began to say, well, I'm going to be number one. I will not be overlooked. Neither will I be ignored. Because you can't ignore somebody 4.0 on the dean's list and what do you call National Honor Society and all these other accolades that were coming that could not ignore me. But that was tackling field.
Uh-huh.
But the first instances of this low self-esteem has allowed me to now develop an equal a balance in my approach to life and to other people. Because I can stand up and say, look at me, look what I've done, but I don't do that. I don't need to do that.
Amen.
You know,
yeah,
all of this to balance me, and I imagine it balanced you too. You've got two degrees. A lot of people don't know you got 2 degrees. And all the other accolades that you receive, awards from the governor and the mayor and all these, all kinds of stuff, certificates and stuff. But you are approachable. You are down to earth just where we live.
Praise God.
And I thank God that I'm right there with you.
Praise God.
And I want to let all of y'all know that my wife is very intelligent.
Oh, baby, you got to go there.
Yes,
yes. She married me.
And she's beautiful from the inside out.
Thank you, Kiri.
Amen. I agree.
That's a good thing, yeah. But, yeah, I hope y'all got something out of this. But I encourage you to check on Dr. Caroline Leaf. Caroline Leaf. What did that say?
Caroline Leaf.
Yeah. You said L-E-A-F, like a leaf, right?
Right.
Yeah, just like a leaf. And Caroline Leaf. And it's going to be a blessing to you. Because she really, for about, I don't know, a good month, I listened to everything that she dealt with. And even this was when I was on the radio down there what was that station? But anyway, I was on radio, and I changed the name of the program because I listened to this lady. Because it opened up my understanding. Thoughts are real things, y'all. Mm-hmm. Don't minimize what folk are saying. Get rid of it if it's offensive. Don't marinate, saute it. Just get rid of it.
Don't repeat it.
Don't even repeat it out your mouth. Because you give life to it when you speak it out of your mouth.
Don't even repeat it.
You know what Jody said about me? Uh-oh. You're giving life to it. Because God spoke 9 times and the world was here.
Thank you, Jesus.
Don't you be creating the world you live in. If it's a bad world you're creating.
Mm-hmm.
Don't speak. Do not out of your mouth. Do not repeat what somebody said.
Amen.
That's negative. Now you can repeat positive stuff, unless somebody says, "Please don't tell nobody this." But I hit the lottery for $40 million. You don't tell anybody. They say, "Don't tell anybody." The only person you tell is me.
Don't tell Jesus.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say it. Yes, I did. But anyway, you know.
you know that song, the song that says, "To dream the impossible dream"?
Yes.
When you listen to Caroline Leaf, she lets you know that what you're dreaming is so far out there, and it's supposed to be, that's where you're supposed to live on a day-to-day basis. It shouldn't be a sporadic thing. And the thing is, God has made us so complete and so fortified, and the world has come and told us that we were opposite of that. and we believed it. But when you go back into reading the word and having a relationship with the Lord, he lets you know that you are precious and valuable from the inside out. And you have to get your instructions from him, because Satan will tell you the opposite.
It is almost offensive to me to hear someone say, well, someone's in the hospital and they say they're a vegetable.
Mm-hmm.
Because Caroline Leaf has helped thousands of people. You heard her say thousands of people.
Yeah.
As
been written off.
And she worked with
me.
God.
Not only did he have to be, they could do a whole field, didn't they? Awesome.
And that's why if you listen to her teachings, she will say, every born-again, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, fire-baptized Christian is a cognitive neuroplastician. In other words, we are agents of change. We are supposed we are ministers of reconciliation. That's an agent of change.
Amen.
So you can really honestly say I'm a cognitive neuroplastician.
Mm.
Hallelujah. Second Corinthians 5:18 says so. Hallelujah.
Don't say that too fast because I was napping.
What did you say?
Okay. Don't say what you just said. Nero, whatever, without a napkin. You're going to spit all over everybody.
Neuroplastician.
Yeah, all of that.
Neuroplastician. Understand, cognitive means understanding. Nero means brain, and plastician means change.
Praise God. You know what?
Change your brain.
Even when a person is unconscious, we're told that the hearing is the last to go. So even when you're in a person's room and they have been diagnosed as being unconscious, you have to watch what you say and everything around them. And you can still speak their spirit even when they are unconscious. Their spirit can still be fed. And all. And so one of the missionaries at Dalsville, the church that we were grew up in, she was on her deathbed, and she was not able to hold a conversation or anything, but she was praying in the spirit. It was just like she was unconscious. You know she's not unconscious because she's praying in the spirit, but she wasn't talking to anybody, and just laying there. I don't know for days or whatever, but just a little but her mouth was just a little. Her spirit was still alive.
But you know what? If you listen to Dr. Caroline Leaf long enough, you will hear her say conscious and non-conscious. Non-conscious is more powerful than the conscious because your conscious self is limited by time.
Yeah.
Your non-conscious, she doesn't say unconscious, she says non-conscious is not limited by time and space.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a teaching that Neil Reyes does about of the blessings that come your way while you sleep.
Thank you, Jesus.
And I'm going to get that teaching one day. But
you know, that's true, Pastor, because you can go to bed with a problem. And in the night, when you wake up, the Lord has given you the answer to it.
Yeah, the answer to it. Amen.
Mm-hmm.
I know that's right.
And you know what? And you know what? One of the reasons why that, because as long as we are woke and all we're thinking and we're feeding our spirit sometimes. But when we sleep, God is able to feed our spirit.
All right now.
While we're conscious, we may be interfering with what God wants to say because we always got our mouths open like I do sometimes. I need to, you know, we got two ears and one mouth. So we're not listening. But when you're in your non-conscious self,
mm-hmm.
you can listen. And God speaks. Sometimes God speaks to some folks that
mm-hmm.
time because they just won't shut up. You know, during the conscious, their conscious walk. So he has to meet them in their non-conscious state.
Play you in the spirit.
Amen.
You get better, honey.
Oh, thank you so much. Well, I got a lot of people praying for me, so I know I will.
we'll come back to you. Should be sent out. We'll come back.
What'd you say? Don't
worry. Praise the Lord. He's still before the Lord. He's always talking.
Amen.
Well, we thank God for the opportunity.
Thank you, Jesus.
That he has given us.
Yes.
Hallelujah. We thank you for the word on tonight.
Thank you, Lord.
Thoughts are real things.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic thoughts are not ours. Saute, marinate, ruminate, focus on, meditate on. You need to get rid of them.
Thank you, Jesus.
Soon and in a hurry. We need to get rid of toxic thoughts like yesterday.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you, Lord, for Bible study on this evening.
Thank you, Jesus.
We ask that you would continue to bless every man, woman, boy, and girl that's under the sound of our voices. And I thank you, Lord, for meeting them at the point of their need and giving them superabundantly above. We thank you, Lord, for the harvest on the good seed sown tonight. We thank you, Lord, for 30, 60, 100 fold.
Thank you.
And blessings.
Thank you.
In Jesus' name. Amen. And we praise your name and glorify your name in Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. I need to make a quick announcement. Sunday, directly after service, we will be registering for the fifth semester of the Institute of Biblical Learning. And what we're going to be giving you is only two syllabi for the first session of the fifth semester. The first session, 3 weeks. And so the two classes you will have for 3 weeks. The first class and the second class taught by Pastor Peaches and class taught by yours truly. So, parents, to formally register on Sunday for the next semester of the Institute of Biblical Learning so that you cannot just have knowledge, which is power, but you can have the superpower, because learning is superpower. God bless you all. Have a blessed rest of your evening, and see you in the morning, everyone.
Hallelujah.
You out.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. God bless you all.
Power on. Bluetooth pairing. Bluetooth connected.
Holy and anointed one,
Jesus.
wrong. God loves you. We love you, too, and nothing you can do about it.
Love you, too, Pastor.
Oh, Lord.